Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob, and this is podcast number 130. It's April 19, 2015. Today, persecution of God's people does increase all over the world. Hear these stories. Pray about your response to them. We begin today in Niger. Christians living in Niger, which is in West Africa, have offered Christ-like forgiveness to the radical Muslims who destroyed their homes and churches and are continuing to share the gospel in the region. January 17, hundreds of Muslims, angered by the cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad, published by the French magazine Charlie Hebdo, 69 churches and 11 Christian homes. 10 Christians lost their lives, and hundreds more were injured in the wake of the deadly rampage. And they took pews, Bibles, chairs, and sound equipment and set them on fire. They did this whole thing while chanting Allahu Akbar. I felt so sad I started to cry, a pastor said. He added, I feel horrible. I ask myself why. Why did they do this to us? What did we do to deserve this? Now, 3 months later, Christians living in the region are working to rebuild their community, determined to still preach the gospel despite the dangers. My prayer is that they would come to know Jesus and that the Lord would touch them even in a dream, said a pastor's wife. I want God to do to them what he did to Paul the Apostle, when he persecuted Christians. God touched him on his way to Damascus. I want those men to experience the same touch from God. Also in Niger today, this article about a Pastor Agbi. This goes back to the original. He and his wife were out for a walk when the protest against Christians began. As the mob grew in size and volatility, the pastor received a phone call from his Muslim neighbor telling them to go home quickly because your house and church are about to be burned. The couple ran home. Finding their house and church on fire, they piled their 6 children in the car and sped away to avoid conflict with the enraged Muslim mob. ICC, that's International Christian Concern, and all of our articles today will come from there, was able to assist this family, and it tells them how. We were moved by the family's response to losing everything they owned. They said, God's word tells us to rejoice in all circumstances, and that's what we're currently doing, because everything contributes to the good of those who love God. Awful, awful place to be, you think? Yeah, well, let's look at the USA. Presentations from a character identified as Bible Man have been halted in a Tennessee school district following a complaint from a prominent atheist activist organization. Horace Turner has been presenting assemblies at Grundy County Schools for approximately 40 years without issue. He sings songs, presents Bible lessons, distributes literature, and erects Christian displays for the children. Attendance is voluntary. But last month, after receiving a complaint from a parent, whose name has not been disclosed, the Madison, Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation sent the district a letter asserting that Turner's presentations are unconstitutional. It's deeply troubling that the district allows these assemblies to take place, they said. It is well settled that public schools may not advance or promote religion, said the letter to the Colemont Elementary School. Allowing anyone access to public school students to proselytize and including the events in the school's calendar is illegal district endorsement of the speaker's religious message, in this case a Christian message. That group referred to Turner as a wolf, alluding to Christ's words in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. While some Christian evangelizers come as wolves dressed in sheep's clothing, this wolf comes dressed as a wolf, the letter stated. Bible Man's overtly religious and proselytizing messages are explicit. The organization asked that Turner be prohibited from conducting future assemblies, referencing the need for children to be protected from predators. That's the attitude of your country, in many places, toward this Jesus. Let's move over to Italy. At least 15 Muslim migrants have reportedly been arrested by Italian police after murdering and throwing overboard 12 other migrants, Christians from Ghana and Nigeria, who were all on a boat heading to Italy. BBC News reported that the Muslims were arrested when they reached the Sicilian city of Palermo and were charged with multiple aggravated murder motivated by religious hate. Migrants from various parts in Africa travel to Italy by boat in large numbers every week, often resulting in massive maritime disasters. In a separate incident earlier this week, close to 10,000 people were rescued from a migrant boat that sank between Libya and Italy, but over 40 drowned. At least 500 people are believed to have died trying to cross the Mediterranean since the beginning of January. Sky News reported that witnesses saw the Muslim migrants killing and throwing the Christian passengers into the sea after a brawl occurred. Ebrima Chate, one of the passengers who arrived at the Sicilian port of Trapani, described the journey as hell. "I've been traveling nonstop for months through many dangerous countries," he said. "In Tripoli, they treated us like animals. They beat us. They shouted at us. They took all our money." He continued, "No human being should have to go through this. I thank God we made it. Many of my friends in different boats did not." CNN noted that there were 105 people who left on the rubber boat from Libya on Tuesday on the trip toward Italy. The alleged Muslim assailants are believed to be from the countries of Ivory Coast, Mali, and Senegal. In Kazakhstan, a Baptist there, Nikolai Novikov, could face up to 3 years imprisonment for refusing to pay a 2013 fine, it was 2013 the year, for offering uncensored religious literature on the streets. Forum 18 News Service has learned. He refused to pay that and other fines he was given, as he states they are unjust. "We're looking at whether a crime was committed," prosecutor Aydin Rashadiev told the same group. The court bailiff has prepared the materials, but it's too early to say if Novikov is guilty or not. Prosecutor Rashadiev insistently claimed that as Novikov's crime was only of what he described as middling seriousness, if convicted, Novikov would not be imprisoned. However, Rashadov stated that he would have to live under restrictions, such as being subject to a curfew every night at his house for up to 3 years. Novikov is due to meet police investigator Ispolov on 20th April to hear what the next moves in the case will be. "He wants me imprisoned for 1, 2, or 3 years, Novikov told Forum 18. Forum 18 was unable to reach investigator Ispolov. Council of Churches Baptists have a policy of civil disobedience, refusing to pay the many administrative fines imposed on them. These are for such offenses as meeting for worship without state permission or sharing religious literature which has not been censored by the state. The 34-year-old Novikov, who is married with 4 young children, has been fined 3 times in 2 years, jailed for 5 days, placed on Kazakhstan's exit ban list, and has had a restraining order placed on his car and his garage with a threat of its confiscation. I didn't pay because I don't consider myself guilty, he explained. These fines were illegal. And then in Pakistan, a 15-year-old Pakistani Christian boy who was beaten, doused with kerosene, and set on fire by two Muslim men last week, died early Wednesday morning from burns covering 55% of his body. Before dying, the boy said that he forgave his assailants. Last Friday, two young Muslims stopped a 15-year-old boy, Numan Masih, as he was walking to a clothes stitching job and asked him what religion he belonged to. When he answered he was a Christian, they beat him up, threw kerosene on him, and set him ablaze. The boy was treated at Mayo Hospital in Lahore in Punjab province. Doctors initially thought that Masih might be able to survive his burns, but the hospital lacked the burn treatment facilities needed to treat the severity of Masih's wounds. I told them I am a Christian. They started beating me. When I tried running, both boys started following me through the street, and then they threw kerosene on me and burnt me. The British Pakistani Christian Association has set up a donation fund to help cover the family's funeral expenses. The association's chairman, Wilson Chowdhury, said that before dying, Masih extended Christian forgiveness to the men who attacked him. Numan was brave throughout his pain and spoke of forgiveness for his attackers. He dies a martyr and will no doubt be with the Lord today. Masih's attackers are still at large and have not been identified. Friday's incident followed on the heels of another burning 3 weeks ago when 17-year-old Christian Sunni Masih was seized by a Muslim mob, beaten and thrown into a flaming kiln. The young man somehow survived the March 20 attack, though he suffered severe burns. According to prominent Pakistani human rights attorney Sardar Mushtaq Gill, Muslim violence toward Christians in Pakistan is meant to intimidate, particularly since tensions between Muslim and Christian communities in Lahore have become acute following the church bombings and Jehanabad lynchings. This kind of thing is happening because they want to make us terrified, Gill said. Especially after this incident at Jehanabad. There's been a crackdown on Christian activists particularly. After this incident, there are a number of men arrested, and now there's a common fear among the activists, too. A Pakistani branch of the Taliban bombed two Christian churches in Lahore on March 15 during Sunday morning services, resulting in the death of 17 people and with another 80 wounded. After the attacks, thousands of Christians erupted in revolt on the streets of Lahore, demanding more protection from the government, which by many accounts has been minimal. Afterward, police took two suspected terrorists into custody, but they were intercepted by a mob of protesters who seized the prisoners, beat them to death, and burned them. Days after the lynching incident, Lahore police raided every house of Jehanabad and rounded up more than 400 Christian youth, breaking down doors of Christian homes or climbing over boundary walls in the middle of the night. And finally today in China, police officers in China's southern Guangdong raided a gathering in Shenzhen held by a house church late last month, claiming the gathering was illegal. A photo of the scene shows more than 10 police officers standing outside the apartment building in which Christians met for a Bible study on March 31. One church member told China Aid that the congregation is concerned about retaliation from police if they talk to the media. The church member said that at some point the policemen entered the building and told the church members the gathering was illegal and to stop meeting. And there you have it. Around this world, our people suffer. What shall we do? Shall we go to be with them? Shall we pray? Shall we send money? There are many organizations, International Christian Concern, Open Doors, Voice of the Martyrs, many ways you could get involved. I hope that you will. And I hope that I will, even more. Ask God, once you've been involved with them, how you can get more involved. They're giving the last full measure of their devotion to Jesus Christ. What are we giving? What are we doing? What can we do? Remember what I began with today, Psalm 3:1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? God bless us today.